Coming first to the stage, so I lied a little at the top when I said this night is just about our audience members. We also have people from the Nerdalogs come and talk. And the first one of those tonight is Mary Beth Smith! This is the first of two shows I'm doing with Mary Beth today, P.S.
Yeah, we're doing the 10 to midnight schedule.
Yeah, we get paid zero.
That's why we do it, the big bucks. Oh no. I'm not into big movies. I'm very, very into movies in that obnoxious way where I forget that everyone isn't into movies the same way that I am. But I'm not into big ones, like the epic ones, Titanic, Gladiator, Hell, Lord of the Rings. The scope is just too big. I watched the whole first season of Game of Thrones, and I was like, I waited so long just for that guy to get his head cut off. I'm out! I want a movie with a small, marginally realistic, but whimsical story to tell. Give me the Irish indie Darling Once, Will Ferrell's Not For Everyone, Stranger Than Fiction, and Waitress, this underrated gem starring Kerry Russell and Nathan Fillion, thank you, that followed Once's footsteps to Broadway. And boy, am I a sucker for a good love story. In fact, I thought about telling a story about how I'm in love today, and I was like, woof, save it. I'm not into, like, chick flicky Notting Hill love stories, but, like, Juno, that's a love story. Sure, it's a horror story of being impregnated the first time you had sex with the lovable idiot you've known for years, but Polly and Juno, that's love. The right person thinks the sun shines out of your ass and all that. That's great. My sense of escapism often stops at stories I can imagine in my own life, small scale. It's a reason representation has become something I want to fight for as a creative person. I'm inspired by that which I know to be true in my life's experience, my own small story. Now, Marvel movies, that's a different beast. The biggest movies, save perhaps only Star Wars, have loads of crime fighters and explosions and can be very fun. But my small emotional engagement in those bad boys is probably what I'm going to enjoy the most. I loved Mark Ruffalo as the soft, sensitive Bruce Banner. I enjoyed Robert Downey Jr. interacting with a certain young web-slinger in Captain America: Civil War. And basically everything in X-Men First Class was dope. Uncle Ben's death is probably going to make me cry every time they remake that godforsaken story. Hell, I even love the parts of Amazing Spider-Man 2 that are just Andrew Garfield and Emma Stone being all cute as Pete and Gwen. Mark Webb may have been terrible at making any of the villain stuff in that movie interesting, but the director of 500 Days of Summer is going to know how to tell a love story. It's weird how many of those are Spider-Man moments looking back at that list. I guess even among the superheroes, I'm still drawn to one of the most human and accidental. Sidebar, my significant other, the people laughing have heard Mike Gifford tell a story before, and I'm okay with that. Sidebar, my significant other of the aforementioned ignored story topic about how I'm in love once kissed me upside down over the side of our couch, Spider-Man style, and whispered, "I'm a terrible actor." Not being confident which of the two leads in Sam Raimi's original Spider-Man trilogy he could have been referring to, I simply whispered back, "Me too." Now we do it all the time because we are in love and that is hilarious. End of sidebar. So how do I be the change I want to see in the world? As a creative, I don't necessarily not want to see those big stories being told. The more the merrier. Heck, Rian Johnson got to tell Small, Brick, Brothers Bloom, and Looper before he took the reins of Episode 8, and I bet he'll be back to tell a smaller scale story at some point. But me, how do I tell my small story? A few months ago, I pitched a small, semi-personal show to a theater in town without knowing when or if it would get picked up, let alone how I would pull it off if it did. It had been a goal for a while, though, to put up a small, heartfelt story of my own, and put my money where my mouth was. When the show got accepted, I was immediately doubtful that I could pull it off. I wasn't sure I'd be able to dedicate time I wanted to it, let alone ask anyone else to dedicate theirs. A big roadblock was that I was scheduled to be out of town both weekends before the show was supposed to open, the second of which being a family gathering. As I was beginning to write the email to the theater, regretfully declining the offer due to scheduling conflicts, I casually mentioned to my significant other that I had gotten the show slot but was turning it down. He was shocked. He knew how much it had meant to me to try to tell that story in that space. "No," he said, and this is almost verbatim. "Fuck that. Do the show. Change your plans. Your family won't understand. Tell them now. We'll fly them out to see it. The show is something you want to do. Don't give yourself an excuse because you conveniently have one. Don't talk yourself out of the show because you're scared about doing it perfectly. It might not be good. That's okay. You'll be better for having done it. Take the opportunity and do your best. You may not get it again." Tears had begun pouring from my face, and I had had no idea that that was exactly what I needed to hear in that moment. And I truly don't think I would have made that decision had he not said all that. "I'm in," I replied to the theater after profusely thanking the man I'm in love with. Shit, it was a love story all along. Thanks.
Mary Beth brings up a great point, which is, so Lake Effects is a conference meant for people who are doing creative stuff in Chicago. So everyone that I've invited here today is up to some creative endeavor or another. Mary Beth, in addition to being part of the Nerdalogs and apparently producing her own show, which is incredible, hosts a podcast called MBSing with Mary Beth Smith that is really